I was saying last week how it's important to try to understand the story on different levels. And the reason, one of the reasons that I'm being misakiv on this particular part of the story, spend a long time on this particular part when the Sheni Lamelech finds himself in the big banquet hall by the party, because it's at this point where it's going to be determined whether or not the Jewish person, the Yid, loses himself in Olam Hazeh, or is able to find the Bas Melech. It's a very, very crucial time in the story. We were talking last week about the avoda of finding a corner of the day, a little piece of time, a little piece of the day, of the week, for his baididus and his baininus, to be able to look at things and to see and to try to understand a little bit from a distance. And this is the story of a person who's going through a time of laitayf. And since we all feel that so much, especially these days, I don't mean these days of the calendar, I mean the time that we're living in, the laitayf, and how to be able to manage, and what we need to be able to, what we must do in order to not only to survive this time, but to be able to davke, to find the basmala during this time. So the shiur before last, we were talking about a very simple level that a very big avoda of a person during the time that he's in the light tithe, a very big avoda of a person is taking what Rabbi Nachman said, that the person saw over there, madanim u'machalim taifim omad v'achal v'halach v'shochad, that he took some good things to eat. And the Breslov of the Svarim from the Talmidim and the Talmidim of the Talmidim of Rabbi Nachman tell us, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago, that avoda is that during the time that a person is going through a period of laitayv, or he finds himself stuck in the laitayv, the ikir is to keep on grabbing, Rabbi Nachman said, and eating some kippitlach tehillim and some mishnayis and some gemara. And we spoke about that when Rabbi Nachman said in the Sicha Saran, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, before Yontif, Ashrei misha zoich leachol kama prokim mishnayis v'lishtas achakach kama kippitlach tehillim v'lislabish be'ilah mitzvahs. Ashrei, fortunate is a person who is able in this world to grab, to eat a few chapters of Mishnayis, and to drink afterwards some chapters of Tehillim, and to put on the clothing of a couple of mitzvahs. So we saw last week in the story that the Sheni Lamalchus, Sheni Lamalchus was watching from his corner, and he saw that Hamelech Tziva Lahavias Amalka, that the king commanded to bring in the queen. That the king commanded to bring in the queen. What Rabbi Nachman is saying here is a very important nakuda. We spoke about this in Eretz Yisrael also. It means that when a person in the place of light taif is zeiche to eat some mishnayis and to drink some kippitl chtelim and to put on some mitzvahs. In other words, despite the fact that he's going through a hard time and he's in a place of hestapanim and he's living a life in which there is a great amount of light toiv. If the person continues and he perseveres, eating his mishnayos and drinking his tehillim and putting on the clothing of mitzvahs, if the person continues, he's going to be able to understand manaseh shom, like it says in the story. He's going to be able to eventually understand and see the Yetzirah for what it is, who the Melech is, that the king, the Yetzirah, and he's going to be able to understand that the Bas Melech has been taken, by the king. In other words, when a person like Rav Kook was explaining that as a tshuva, it hurts, because when a person begins to be misasik in the parasha of tshuva, he starts to see the truth. Whereas when you enter into the world of tshuva, until you start with tshuva, you're just oblivious to what's happening. You get caught up in the part of yourself and you're oblivious. You don't notice anything that's wrong. The painful reality of what's wrong with life really begins to dawn on a person when he's in the parasha of tshuva. So Rabbi Nachman is saying here is that when a person is eating the mishnayos and having some tilm to drink and putting on some clothing of mitzvahs, in other words, he's trying to be mechazik himself to keep Torah mitzvahs in the place of light taif, then he begins to notice the king, which means the king, which is Tumah, which is the Sitrach of the other side, at the same time that he begins to see the Bas Melech, because they're sitting next to each other. In other words, just when he begins to notice one, he notices the other. That's how it is in life. If you don't pay any attention to the Toiv, you don't see anything that's Ra. If you're not trying to find the Ra, what's wrong inside of yourself, you also don't see what's good. You don't see the good inside of yourself. So that picture of this Yid in the corner of the banquet hall, being Mizbainain and noticing the Melech together with the Melech, meaning the Tumah, the Sitrachva, the king of Tumah, with the Bas Melech, that's how it is in life. When you're trying to be a Yid and you're trying to do tshuva, which is what this person is trying to do. He's looking for the Bas Melech. When you're in that parasha of looking for the Bas Melech, you begin to notice how wrong things are with your life. Until that time, you might not have noticed. You begin to see that there's a Melech, Zaken Luxil, that there's a king, there's a force of Tumah that's been ruling over your life. And that hurts to see the things inside of yourself that are not right. At the same time, you're able to take note of the Bas Melech. You're able to notice, you're able to see the Bas Melech. In the 14th and 15th parak of Aris HaTshuvah, Rav Kook talks about this throughout the Sefer. How when a person turns on that light of Tshuva, that light shines on his life, and the bumps and the cracks and the pimples and the blemishes and the acne that you never saw, because there's never any light in your life, you begin to see. But at the same time, you see there's so much good that you also never saw. The real good, not that you can hit the ball far or that you know how to say a good joke. The real pneumius of who you are, you begin to see. And in that, you see things that are not good and you see things that are good. So the Melech and the Melech of Tumah is sitting sitting together with the Bas Melech. There's something else here. There's a very big Indian in Kabbalah. There's no question that Rabbi Nachman is talking about. And we've learned something of this. In Lakut HaMoran, we were talking last year in the third Torah about music, about Nagina. And you remember how Rabbi Nachman was talking there in the third Torah about how the Bali Nagina, those who sing, who play music, who sing music, they're drawing the Kerch of Nagina from that Sherish in the spheres in the Olam is from where Nevuah comes. Remember, we spoke about that. From Netzach and Hoyd, that the Baalei Negina are tapping in. We're talking about, he was talking about a Menag in Russia, as you remember. Not a good guy. A Menag in Russia. The Menag in Russia, whose Negunim have, as we learned last year, a very negative impact on our lives. And this menagin, every menagin, every true menagin, say true doesn't mean it could be good or bad, but a menagin is drawing a nigin from a very high place, from the same place that the Nevi'im are taking Nevuahs, Rabbi Nachman explains in that Torah. What that means is that the koiches of Tumah, the power of Tumah in this world, is yoinek, is drawing its energy from the koiches of Kedusha. This is a very big subject in Torah, and it's not something that we're going to go into. We're not holding by understanding this on a deeper level. It's not for now. But there's no other way for us to understand the obsession that the Goyim have with Jews. Now, I know the word obsession is used very much by the... Nowadays, if somebody, like, you could hear teenagers talking this way, that if somebody likes, you know, fresco, this house, you know, he's obsessed with fresco, she's obsessed with the obsession is a very strong word, and I use it very, very rarely, because it's a very strong word, and it indicates something that's not healthy. An obsession, I don't know any psychological, I don't know how these terms are being used by the professionals, but I always understood that an obsession means something unhealthy. Is that correct? I am assuming that I have people here that are Mavinim, that's something that's unhealthy. You don't use the word obsession for something that's a person likes chocolate. You don't say he's obsessed with chocolate. Obsession is not normal. It's not healthy. There's an unhealthy obsession that the Goyim have with Jews. And the obsession, they have an obsession with Yerushalayim, with Eretz Yisrael. They have an obsession with Jews. And the reason that they have this obsession with the Bas Melech, the king, here we have the king of the Sitra Achra. It's a big Malchus. It's got this whole Malchus over there, a palace and soldiers. There's a lot of stuff going on over there. And the only Bas Melech, it's this, of course, with Achashverosh and Esther Malka too. The only princess that the king of the Sitra Achra wants to have sitting next to him is what? Is the Bas Melech. The Bas Melech means, of course, Knesset Yisrael, means the Jewish people. It's Mishagas. So you want to say she's the most beautiful. Esther Malka was the most beautiful. The Bas Melech and our story is beautiful, but because the Goyim know, and the king of the Sitra Achra knows, that the tachlis of all creation is Yisrael. And the only reason for our being in this world is Nisavik HaShbaruch Hu L'yesh L'yisbaruch D'yir B'sach Toinim, is Avodas Hashem. And the whole pnimius of all worlds is Emunah, is the Bas Melech. And therefore, at the same time that we're so despised and hated, the obsession with us has driven our enemies to have a shaychus with us. That shaychus is to preserve and to kill at the same time. It's so bizarre, it's so abnormal an obsession, that even famous anti-Semitic writers and philosophers have taken note of this and have confessed to the obsession that they have and that the world has with hating Jews and needing Jews. Therefore, there's a big raj when the Melech comes in with the Malka. There's a big tumult when the king walks in with the Bas Melech. As it says in the story, there's a big rash. If a guy is able to convert a Jew, that was the biggest That was the biggest fine. You were promoted to the highest position in the church. If you were able to convert Jews, if you were able to bring a Jew over, that was considered to be the biggest thing. To this day, you see that they're making a tumult. I think it's ridiculous. They shouldn't make a tumult with these things, but they're making a tumult about how the Pope doesn't want to take out from the nusach that they have in their davening, to take out from the nusach that God should help to bring the Jews or convert the Jews. I didn't read the language of what that is in the nusach and what should be taken out from the nusach, and I don't know why Jews are sitting around reading these nusachos and worrying about them. The same people that are so nervous about that nusach, if they would look a little bit and learn some Mishnayos and Gemara, and they'd be concerned about the nusach of davening, then they wouldn't bother with what the Galach in Rome is thinking about. But this inyan of the nusach of bringing the Jews back, and how the obsession of the church, in modern times materialized or surfaced in the obsession of Nazi Germany, and so it is. It's always like that. They can't live with us, and they can't live without us. And that is because the klipas of tuma are yoinek, are being milked, are nursing, as we learned last year with the nigunim, are nursing from the malchus of kedusha, from the malchus of holiness. There's no malchus in the world that could exist unless it has a yanika, unless it's being nursed, unless it's stealing and drawing. It's like tapping it off, like you have your house and there's somebody building a house next door, and then you find that they've been using your electricity. You look at your bills and you say, what's going on over here? I mean, how come the bills are five times? And then you notice one day, like there's one of those, 100-foot extension cords, and you follow, and you see that somebody's been using your electricity. This happened to us years ago, somebody. Not in this neighborhood where we live. And there's a... So the whole yanika of that other place, all of the energy and all the electricity is coming from you. And I explained this once, that there's a Torah from the Avnei Nezer that his son, the Shem Shmuel, brings down. It's a very beginning in this Ramakadashim. The Chazal say... Chazal are pointing out how startling it is that the Megillus Esther opens in such a way that the Rosh is having a party for 180 days. And how could he be having such a party? The Beis HaMikdash is in ruins, Yidna in Galus, and this Mushchas, this Rosh, is making a 180 day party. Well, how could that be? So the Medrash asks that question, and the Medrash answers by saying, so the Malachim asked Hashem. This is the angels asked Hashem. How could it be? The Beis HaMikdash is in ruins, and this Rosh is making a party like that. So the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the Malachim and said, "Ki darchem agas begalu b'shabbos," that the wine presses and the olive presses are open on Shabbos in the Galil, in Eretz Yisrael, in the north. In other words, that there are Yidden that are Machal Shabbos. Jews are Machal Shabbos. That's Hashem's answer to the angels. You want to know why the Goyim are having a good time? Why they're living it up over there in Persia? Because in Eretz Yisrael, there are Jews that are working on Shabbos. So the Avnei Nezer said, what the Baruch Shalom is saying is that there's a Metzias in the world that's called Shabbos. It's a Metzias, Shabbos. If we don't keep Shabbos, then the Goyim are able to be yoinek, are able to draw out from the Shabbos that we neglect. They don't draw out Kiddush and Avdolah. They don't draw out Lechadoidis and Neshes Chaz. They draw out from Shabbos the Menucha of Shabbos, the Oinig of Shabbos. Shabbos is a delight. Shabbos is a Gevaldige Menucha, it's a Gevaldige Oinig. And if we don't live in Shabbos, if we're Mechal Shabbos, then the other side grabs on, the chitzonim grab on to that neglected piece of Shabbos. So you want to know why is it that the Rosh is making parties and he's sitting there and he's living it up? The answer is because because Jews are neglecting Shabbos. And because of neglecting Shabbos, there's a unique that the Sitra Achra has, that it takes, the Klipas take, from the Malchus of Kedusha. So this whole scene that's taking place in the big banquet hall of the Loi Toiv, of the Sitra Achra, which is of the Malchus HaRisha of Olam Hazeh, the Rash, the noise, the excitement when the Bas Melech is brought in, that's the excitement. The excitement that the church would have when a Jew was taken to be converted, the excitement that goyim have with anything that smells of Judaism, of Yiddishkeit, that they built the whole religion. Christianity is part of their obsession. Christianity is the obvious and visible symptom of the obsession that the world has with us, that they tried to make a religion that would make them into Jews, but not being Jewish, that they would be Jews but not Jewish, and that's the inyan of the Rash, of the tumult of the Malchus that's going on in the Malchus when the Bas Melech is brought in. It's a very scary thing. It's a very scary thing. Now, we learned that the Sheni L'Malchus, from his corner, from his place of his Bainidus and his Bainidus, that he found a quiet place for his Bainidus, he's able to see the Bas Melech, and he recognizes the Bas Melech. He recognizes the Bas Melech. As far as on the level that we are learning this story of that the Sheni L'Malchus is a tzaddik, we understand that means on a very simple level that the tzaddik recognizes inside each and every one of us the Bas Melech, even though we don't see it in ourselves. The tzaddik recognizes the Bas Melech. I think that's clear, that when the Sheni L'Malchus, as far as the Sheni L'Malchus being the tzaddik recognizes Kedusha. He recognizes Kedusha. Even though in the story here, the Kedusha has been trapped and imprisoned in the Mivtzar of Loi Toiv, in the place of Loi Toiv, and the Bas Melech has been taken by the Sitra Achra, the same way that you and I and other Jews can be far, far, far from Avodas Hashem, Ribbono Hashem, Shem Mitzvos, but there are other Jews that are far more. But even when it comes to seeing each other, the whole inyan of Lag BaOmer, I'm not going to go into this now, just to mention it, the whole inyan of Lag BaOmer, the Simcha of Lag BaOmer, is that the koyach of Rabbi Shimon was to see the pnimius inside each and every Jew. And even though people don't learn, they don't understand the word of the Zohar Kaddish, but there's this feeling that Knesset Yisrael has, that Rabbi Shimon really, really knows who I am. Rabbi Shimon knows that inside of me there's a fire. Rabbi Shimon knows there's a fire inside of me. Rabbi Shimon knows that I'm not happy doing these aveiros. I'm not happy being the person that I am. And the tzaddik recognizes that. The big, big tzaddikim especially, they always recognize the Bas Melech. You know, the Bas Melech is surrounded by all kinds of crazy things. Like in our story, the Bas Melech is surrounded by craziness. The biggest tumah is all around her. And she was there's no question, she was dressed up like the queen of that cave. She was dressed up probably in terrible clothing. She wasn't dressed properly. She wasn't dressed like she used to dress by her father. What was she dressed like? She was dressed like a woman from over here, from that place. How do they dress them? Like Vashti, you understand? How was she dressed? She wasn't dressed nice. So some people will look at that and say, ah, and would think that person is just is herself part of the Sitra Achra. But the tzaddik recognizes the Bas Melech. The tzaddik doesn't look with that critical eye. The tzaddik sees the Toiv. That's clearly what is happening here on the level of understanding the story of the tzaddik. That the tzaddik sees the Toiv, he sees the pnimius. He sees what other people don't see. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said when he came out from the cave in Rabbi Elazar, and his son was looking with his eyes, and everything was going, the second one I'm talking about, and everything was being set on fire and everything was being destroyed, and then when they saw the Ahu Sabbath, the Alta Yid going with the Hadassim, So Rabbi Shimon Bar said, "Hey, come a chaviv mitzvah Yisrael." Rabbi Shimon said, "Ah," he said to his son, "Look, look how Yidden, look how they love mitzvahs, look how they love mitzvahs." So that's a tzaddik sword. The tzaddik sees things differently. So wherever Rabbi Elazar was looking, he was destroying. Wherever Rabbi Shimon was looking, he was healing. So in the story, the Shayla Malchus is the tzaddik, is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is in his place in the cave on the side somewhere. Rabbi Shimon comes out and looks at the world, and he recognizes, and everything that he sees, he recognizes that he sees in Jews, even though Zarim, Vacharshim, they're working, they're out there in the fields, they're not learning Torah. So his son sees and he says, "Torah Matahela, what's going to be with learning? What's going to be with Avodas Hashem with these people?" And he sets them on fire to destroy the world. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Kam chaviv mitzvah Yisrael." Rabbi Shimon sees the Taif. That's how the tzaddik looks. Even in the place of light Taif, he sees the Taif in the place of light Taif. That's if we're talking on that level of the tzaddik, of the Shema Machas as the tzaddik, watching and taking note of the Bas Melech, seeing the Bas Melech. If we learn on the second level, that is talking about regular people like us and other Jews who are takeh fablonjit, who are searching for the Bas Melech inside themselves, not to see it in other people. The tzaddik sees it in other people, but to find it inside oneself, to look for it inside of oneself. And we're talking about that person who, even though he's in the place of light tayyif, he still tries to grab some good stuff to eat and drink, meaning he tries to eat some mishnayis, he tries to drink some tehillim, and tries to put on some clothing of mitzvahs and ma'asim tayyifim, as Rabbi Nachman says in the Sichas Aran. In other words, he's mischazik himself. He's mischazik to do the right things, even though he's in a bad place, and he's not, the overall picture of his life is not so great. So here Rabbi Nachman is promising that person that sof kol sof he'll be zoicha to recognize the Bas Melech. That's what's important here. Sof kol sof he will be able to recognize the Bas Melech. He'll be able to recognize the Bas Melech. He'll be able that if a person, despite the fact that it's hard for him, he continues to go to shul and he continues to learn and he continues to keep mitzvahs and he tries to stay away from aveiros, even though he's fighting and he slips once in a while and so on. But Rabbi Nachman is saying is that sof kol sof, through all those years of persevering and not giving up, he'll find the Bas Melech. He'll recognize the Bas Melech, and ultimately, as what happens in the story, ultimately he'll be able to free the Bas Melech, because he's an action. Rabbi Nachman had great love for akshonis of kedusha, as we know, for a person who's a holy action, stubborn, that kind of stubbornness. As Rabbi Nachman always wrote, "Shaloi lahaniach es mekaimcha," don't let go of your place. Don't let go. Hold on to your place. Hold on to keeping what you can keep. And if you hold on to keep what you can keep, eventually you'll recognize the Bas Melech. The truth is that there's a famous Chazal in the Psiche or the Medrash Rabbah of Eicha, where Chazal bring the pasuk in Yirmi. It says in Novi, "Va'isi azavu v'esterasi." The Navi said, "They have left me," Hashem is saying, "they have left me, Aisi Aizavu, Festerosi, Loishamaru. And they haven't kept my Torah." So Chazal, they left me and they haven't kept my Torah. They left me, of course they haven't kept the Torah. What does that mean? Aisi Aizavu, Vesterosi, Loishamaru. So Chazal say, "Halavai Aisi Aizavu, Vesterosi, Shamaru. Halavai. If only they would, even though they've left me, they're not serving me and so on, at least if they would keep my Torah." What's that? What does that mean? In other words, even though they're not attached to me, and they're not vacant to me, and they don't feel a connection to me, halavai, oisiyazavu, but at least Torosi Shamaru, at least they're keeping my Torah. Mitok shahoyim is asking for, if they would continue to learn Torah, even though they don't feel anything, they don't feel any connection to me, they might have trouble believing in me. But halavai, at least if Torosi Shamaru, at least if they would continue trying to learn Torah, they would learn Torah, then Hamor Shabbo Hayim Achzirin Lamutav. Then the light of Torah would bring them back to come around. Then the Hamara Shabbat Machzir Lamutav. This, of course, in the Gemara, in Pesachim, is Mitar Shaloi Lashma Baal Lashma. That even though your observance of mitzvahs right now is Shaloi Lashma, you don't feel like learning. You don't feel like davening. You don't feel like being good. You don't feel like mitzvahs and so on. But Afal Pichein, you continue to eat Mishnayis and to drink Tehillim and to put on the clothing of mitzvahs and Masim Toivim. So Chazal say, that mitoch shahoy misaskin bo, that if a Jew continues to be misasik in Yiddishkeit, it means that you're busy with Yiddishkeit. Even if you don't feel anything, but if you're busy with Yiddishkeit, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo makes a promise that hamora shabo machzir lemutav, that the light of Torah will bring you back. The light of Torah will bring you back, and that's the avoda of a person in the place of loy toiv. Shaloi lahaniach es mekoymai, not to stop being misasek with the eating and the drinking of Yiddishkeit. Now, what all of that leads to, and we spoke about this a little bit last week, is that not only does he recognize the Bas Melech, but their eyes meet, and she recognizes him. And she asks him, do you remember me? Do you recognize me? And he answered her and so on. And he asked her, how did you get to this place? How did you come to this place? And she explains that my father, he said those words, that the Loi Taif should take me, that's why I ended up here. And this is the place of Loi Taif. Right? That's what happens. This is the place of Loi Taif.
Very, very, very nice.
That's what it's in Yiddish?
Yeah. She went and she touched him before she spoke.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the touching in a second. Right, she touched him.
Okay.
Yeah. She touched him. So the what's happening over here is Rabbi Nachman's giving tremendous chizuk that when a person continues with the program, and he continues to hold on to keeping Torah mitzvahs, despite the fact that his mamash hard for him, and it's bitter for him. But he still continues to look for the Bas Melech. So, to look for the Shekhinah, to look for the Neshama, the Bas Melech. So, the result of that is that the Bas Melech touches him and speaks to him. The Bas Melech touches him and speaks to him and says, you recognize, and asks, you recognize me? Now, we spoke many times recently also about a klal that we learned from Shlomo HaMelech, who says in Mishlei, Kemayim haponim laponim, kein lev ha'odim la'odim. The way that you show yourself to somebody, that's how they show themselves back to you. If you smile at a person, then the person smiles back. If you're frowning, if you're angry, so that causes the person. That person is a reflection of you. That's what it means. It says in Pasuk, Kemayim haponim laponim, kein lev ha'odim la'odim. So what Rabbi Nachman is saying here is a beautiful thing. That if you're a person that's turned towards your neshama, you're trying to find the Bas Melech, you're looking for the Bas Melech to see the Bas Melech. So the Bas Melech reacts and responds by turning towards you. The Bas Melech will turn towards you and speak to you. That's the simple formula that's going on here. If you're a person that you have no interest in the Bas Melech, and you don't care about your Yiddishkeit, and you don't care about what's happening to you, and you don't look at the Bas Melech, you don't face the Bas Melech, or you have an angry, bitter face, whatever it might be, so then the Bas Melech, if you don't recognize the Bas Melech, then the Bas Melech doesn't recognize you. Then the Bas Melech doesn't speak to you. But if your eyes are turned towards the Bas Melech, so then, Kemayim haponim laponim kein lev ha'odim la'odim, if you're meir ponim to the Bas Melech, if you are smiling towards the princess, and if you're looking to see the princess, and you're trying to find the princess, that's ma'ayra, that awakens within the princess that response to be made upon him to you, to look to you in the way that you're looking to her. She looks to you, And Mimela, she begins to tell you how to get her out. Because that's what's going to be happening now in the story. She begins to give him an etzah of how you can get me out of this place, how you could free me from the light taif. And he asks her, how did you get to this place? How did you get to this place? On the level of the tzaddik, when the tzaddik is trying to get a Jew out of the light taif, then we'll talk about it within oneself. But when a tzaddik wants to get the Jew out of the place of light taif, Rabbi Nachman in the fourth Torah speaks about the person being misvada. It sounds very strange to somebody who's not in Lakuta Maran. It doesn't sound, God forbid, like it's something from Yiddishkeit, but of course it is. The tzaddik has to try to bring the person to confess his sins. To confess. To be misvada to the tzaddik. Not chas v'shalom, what goes on by the church. But to be misvada. The tzaddik sees the bas melech in the world of light taif equals the tzaddik is trying to help a Jew. Is trying to help free this Jew from the place of light taif. So what does the tzaddik do? Again, I'm switching to that interpretation of what's going on. The tzaddik goes to the yid and asks him a question. Ech basa lekan. What's a nice Jew like you doing in a place like this? How did you get to this place? It's not because the tzaddik is curious. It's because this is the beginning of the Yeshua. The tzaddik wants to bring this yid to be open and honest about what's wrong with his life. To be misvada, to say vidui, to confess. The tzaddik's not. The last thing in the world that tzaddik wants to hear is about bad stuff. The tzaddik doesn't want to hear bad stuff. He doesn't want to hear stories. For the tzaddik to hear things that are not nice is the most painful thing in the world. So why does the tzaddik go over to this yid who's at the party of Olam Hazeh? And he asks him, Eich Baslaka, how did you come to this place? How did you end up in such a place? What happened to you? The tzaddik is asking that question to bring this yid, could be for the first time in many years, to be misvada, to say vidui, chatosi visi peshati, to talk about what happened to him. And by talking about that, he's able to extract the poison, because vidui, there's all Maimer and Pachid Yitzchak about this, but vidui means the extraction of what's wrong, getting it out of the system, purging oneself. That's what vidui is. Before Adam did the Aveira, before Adam and Chava sinned, evil was outside in the form of the snake, as Reb Chaim Volozhin explains. It was in the form of a snake. It wasn't inside of me, it was outside of me. The worst thing that happens to us is that we internalize evil and we identify with evil. That's the worst thing. Not that I did something bad, I'm bad. There's a big difference between doing something bad and being bad. It's not just with children. That's child psychology one. Don't tell the kid you're really bad, just tell the kid what you did is bad. It's not just for children. The worst thing is to internalize evil, to bring the snake inside of yourself. What's vidui? Vidui is turning one's life around and extracting the evil and putting it on the table and being able to point to it and say, you maneuver, you mushkus, you snake, you filth, look what you did to me. Being able to extract it, not to identify with it anymore, not to see oneself as being identified with that with the Yetzer with the Nachash, but it's something which is foreign to me and outside of me, and it's a disgusting foreign alien thing that infiltrated into my life, but it's not me. It infiltrated into my life. I fell for it, and I let him into my life. That's not me. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. If you have a chance, take a look in the Torah of Anoichi, the fourth Torah in Likud Moran, by Sif Hey, by Ois Hey. It's a hard Torah. By Ois Hey. I'll just read you a few words, a few sentences. The sins of a person are etched onto his bones. The tzaddik sees them. The avarice of a person become etched into him. Kama Shekosef, as it says in Yechezkel, Vatihi avanoisam chakuka alatzmoisam. The avarice are engraved on their bodies. The tzaddik sees. The avarice are engraved. Vatihi avanoisam chakuka alatzmoisam. Chol aver yesh latzeref oisiyas. Every aver has different oisiyas of the olive base, a certain code that it spells, especially on the forehead, but on the body of a person, the tzaddik is able to see that. Ukshav eiz avera as I nechkach tzeref ra latzmoisam. When a person does an avera, then those letters are arranged. He caused that those letters become arranged to form a bad word, something bad, and that's engraved on him. When a person says vidui, it's not enough to think. It talks about dibur. I'm not going to. There's no time to come to this whole term. When a person says vidui, he actually verbalizes the specific things that he's done wrong with his life. He says them. By the vidui dvarim yoytzei ma'atzmoisav ha'oisis ha'chakukim aleim, he's able to extract from his flesh, from his bones, those tziruf, from those that bad stuff that was engraved. V'nasim mehem adibu shel ha'vidui, the letters come out and then become the letters of the words of vidui. Instead of those letters of tumah being engraved in you, they enter into the letters of the words that you're saying. By saying the bad things that you did, they become extracted and drawn out from your life and enter into the letters and the oisiyas of the words of vidui. Ki adibu yaitz me'asai, so kamashakos of kolatz moisai taimarna. Only Rabbi Nachman could, it's like, you know, the whole Tanakh is like Likud Moran. The whole Tanakh is Likud Moran. So he says, kolatz moisai taimarna. All my bones, taimarna, are speaking. In other words, when a person says vidui, then the bones of the Jew are able to get the stuff off the chest. The stuff that's been, they've been schlepping around in graves, killing them. It's killing a person. The stuff is killing a person. And when you say vidui, klatz moisai tamarna, my bones are able to speak, to tell the story of what happened to them, how they got so messed up, they got so filthy and abused and damaged. And the person says vidui, klatz moisai tamarin, then my bones are able to speak. And the Rav Nachman says it knocks down, it destroys that binyan, that building, that structure, that tziruf that was formed, that was built by the oisius of the aveyus being joined together in a bad way that became etched in your bones. And when you say vidui, so you're able to be machriv, to destroy that bad, those bad words, those bad tzirufim that are chakukim on the person they're engraving you. And he says unbelievable things here, like it's a whole long tirade. and why it's important. The Efshal Hashir Amluch Lakadosh Baruch Hu Aladei Vidui Dvarim Lefnei Talmud Chochem. Lefnei Talmud Chochem. Kichui Mochem Dvarim, Zay Divi Dvarim, Zay Pinnis Malchus, Zay Nachem Toksul. About the Inyan of the Tzaddik drawing out from the person that the person should say. That the person should be able to give him the Zavada. So, in our story, when the Sheni Lamachus, the Tzaddik, goes over to the lost princess, the Yid that's lost. But a Yid that's trying to find himself, trying to get out. So the first thing the Sheni Lamachus asks is, Eich Baslakan, how did this happen to you? What happened to you? I remember you were in Cheder, when you were in Yeshiva. Eich Baslakan, how did this happen to you? How'd you get to such a bad matzah? Hey, Boslakan. Vidui Dvarim. If you don't answer that question, you might not ever get out. If you can't be honest, if you can't articulate, if you can't speak about it, not saying to a friend or to a neighbor, but even within your own, to say the words yourself, if you can't articulate what's wrong with your life and the mistakes that you've made, if you avoid that question of Eich Basalakan, how did this happen to you? How did you get to this? How did you get to the light life? If you avoid that question and you continue to be misalim, you continue to be Miss Allen to hide. It was a bocha that I like very much, that I know for many years in Israel. So it's been a whole story with him. You know, this yeshiva, not yeshiva, this is not yeshiva, and then whatever. I've been telling him for a while, I just think he should be going to school and working and trying to learn for an hour a day, and not wasting his time to, now, how many yeshivas can you get thrown out of? It's just ridiculous. It's not necessary. It's just to. So somebody told him, he called me recently, that someone told him the terrific plan for him, that he should go to learn in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Because there, you know, you can really do what you like. So he wanted to know what I thought about that. So I said, you know, there's a word that they use. If you're going to get yourself, then you could ask somebody what it means in modern Hebrew. You know, hit almut, lehit alaim. It's not the same as hit almut. Hit almut means exercise. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. Hit almut means disappearing. It means to disappear. So disappearing. So you know what? You could save your parents a lot of money. Why don't you disappear in Lakewood? It's cheaper than going to the mirror. You could disappear in Lakewood. There are 5,000 guys there also. If you're looking to disappear, why do you have to get it? With a passport and luggage and You can go over the New Jersey Turnpike. You can disappear there also. If you want to find a big place where there's no mashgiach and there's no rebbe watching you, and no one tells you when to get up, and no one tells you, whether you're learning well, you're not learning well, you could just sort of dray around. I said, the Mir Yeshiva is a malchus of Torah, and so is Lakewood. If you're a serious person, you want to learn, you could find there tremendous learning, tremendous talmid chachamim. They're fantastic opportunities for growing. But if you want to be mit'alem, if you're not being honest with yourself and who you are, you're just trying to run away, I said, then it's a shame to have to go so far. You could really just go locally. You could hide someplace locally. You don't have to go so far to hide. And, you know, it's this whole game with you're playing with your parents and with yourself. It's the worst thing. It's one thing with your parents, but with yourself to play a game. You know, and a person to be honest with oneself. And that's the hardest thing, to be able to be misvada, and for a person to be able to ask that, answer that question. And that everybody, I'm sure there isn't a person here that doesn't know and hasn't heard many times the Meister with the Alter Rebbe Baal Tanya when he was in the prison. That they saw that he was an Ish Kodesh, they saw that he was somebody holy, and that. The fellow that was over there, the warden, the jail keeper, get into conversations with the Baal HaTanya through the hole in the door. He would talk to the Baal HaTanya, and they had their big derech eretz for him. It's also part of any of the unique, the sejach, the tzaddik, and it's a whole story of its own. But they had their big derech eretz. They were afraid of him. They had big derech eretz for him. And when he asked the Baal HaTanya that he has a question, he has a question. The guy said he has a question that's bothering him his whole life. And nobody ever answered. He asked them in the church this and that. He asked different people. They didn't answer the question. So Tani said, "What's the question?" But the Tani first said, "You have to first tell me, answer me. If you believe, do you believe in God?" That's what he said. "Do you believe in God?" So the guy said, "I believe in God 100%." So then Tani said, "What's the question?" So he said that he doesn't understand how could it be that in Gan Eden that Hashem's Baruch asked Adam, "Ayaka, where are you?" So I mean, how could that be that God? How could it be that God has to ask a human being, "Where are you?" What does it mean, "Ayaka"? Where are you? God knows, doesn't God know where everybody is? So the Tanya said to him that since you believe in God, I could explain this to you. That the question of Ayaka is not a question that God is asking you where you are, where you're hiding. He's asking each and every one of us, where are you? Where are you? In other words, the question over here, Eich Basilika, how did this happen to you, Adam? How did it come to you, such a thing? I created you in such a way, how did it come to you that you're here humbling with a nachash and eating from a tree and running away? Like the Gemara says, Ayeka, I'm not the Libra. What happened to your heart? I knew you when you were different. Ayeka, where are you? Means where are you holding? Where are you? Not the Kash Baruch knows where every person is. But he wants you to think about that question. He wants you to think about that question. Ayeka. Ayeka. Eich basalakan. Ayeka, what are you doing? What are you here? How come you're here? Does it mean, how come you're in New York and not in Hetzisrael? That's not, how come you, the life that you've taken, that you're living, how did you come to such a life? The moment that a person is able to address that question honestly, that's the beginning of the Bas Melech being free. It's the beginning of the Yeshua. So the Tzaddik tries to draw that out from the Yid. Eich Basalakan. The Tzaddik doesn't need to hear stories, and he doesn't have time for stories. But unless that person begins to talk, unless that person begins to say, to cry and to say, "No, this is what I did, this is what I did. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Chatos, Yavisi, Peshat, Yisham, Begad, and Gazam." And to be honest with himself. So if the person's not prepared to do that, and the tzaddik can't get that out of a person, so then the person will continue to live in the delusion. And will be stuck in a place of leitov. If you could start to talk about it, then through the vidui dvarim, you could find your way out of the leitov. But if you don't talk about it, that's what I guess in therapy, a person goes to therapy and is able to talk about things. Otherwise, so you can say, "What's the chiddush?" Somebody was telling me, so I was pushing a person very much, they should go for help with somebody. So then I asked him, "How's it going?" So he said, "I'll tell you the truth. I already spent like $900. And the guy just sits there listening to me the whole time. He doesn't give me any, he's not like, didn't tell me an answer, didn't tell me anything. Like." So I said to him, "You don't know what that is. You'll see what that is. It's not time yet for you to hear. It's time for you to talk. And if you wouldn't be, if a yid's paying $130, $140 for an hour, he'll talk. You understand? He'll start talking. Otherwise, you can't get a Jew to talk for free. But if he's paying money, he'll talk. That's the beginning of the Yeshua. I was asking somebody after they were in a hotel Pesach, I said, how was this dullness? I'm sick when I ate and how much weight I put on. That's what he was telling me. So I said, so why do you eat so much? He said, you know how much I was paying? It's like, but he ate himself into a frenzy. Like, I don't know. Because you know, you have a choice of different things. You could take this main and that main. So he felt like, I'm paying thousands of dollars for this. I'm eating. I tell my kids, you better eat. Everybody's got to eat. So if a person's paying $130, $150 a chreis for a session with a therapist, he's going to talk. And that talking, the ikke is that vidui dvar. If he's fortunate enough and the therapist is an elchayid, is a God-fearing Jew, then that could be a bechin of even a bigger yeshua than he ever imagined. It could be such a thing. But stam, for the person to be able to be misvade cleans out, it's purging himself, it's like an amish driving out all that the stuff that's chakuk, that's engraved in the atzomis of and kolat smoysay tamana, and then after that it's cool. It's Yeshua is not, it's the beginning of the issue. For me, it's already the beginning of the issue. Yeah.
Can we
do
with
the
Kadosh Baruch Hu say speak to Hashem?
Sure.
Can a person speak to Hashem? Do I have a therapist to pay him to be down with him? What does that do? I mean, what does that going to do for me to speak to Hashem? And being mitzvah to Hashem, as opposed to speaking to a person who is sounding.
You need both. Most people need both. There's no question that that's the most important thing, to be able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that certainly can help. But to bring those diburim down into this world, and to be able to see, many people feel that they could say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know anyway what I've done wrong. So they feel that they could say it, and because of that, they don't really extract what's inside of them. But when a person goes through the unbelievable pain of having to face another human being, especially the tzaddik who he wants to impress, and the tzaddik who he wants to look at him in a nice way, and is able to say those words, so it could have an unbelievable effect on the person. Unbelievable. We're able to daven from the siddur without meaning it. A person can say it either without meaning it either. Say the words. You say every day in the davening, Shana B'davening, you can say like that 50 years. And you can go through Yom Kippur also. But try to go to a tzaddik who knows you and loves you and thinks you're the greatest person in the world, and to say, this is who I really am. This is, that's very, very hard. It's very therapeutic. It gets into the kishkes. But here in this fourth Torah, Menachem talks about the union of the Talmud Chacham and the tzaddik. And Hashem will get to that one day too. Okay. Sky.